Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball with Mike Hebert. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, recovering from a weekend trip to Orlando Universal Studios where my daughter works. Went to the parks, did some other family stuff. 13-hour drive yesterday, though. 14 with some delays. You know, needed a little break this morning before we so we could get into this afternoon.
Yeah, I understand that. I was tired just from the 3+ hours, almost 4 hours coming back from Houston this weekend for Raging Cajun baseball. So,
but, yeah, good start by that club. Hopefully that continues.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll be honest with you. I saw the ULM game. I was there. We looked good. I did not see much of the James Madison game only because after baseball, didn't have a way to hook it up to the TV at the hotel. It wouldn't let me switch it, so I was watching it on my phone. Let's talk about the ULM game first. 49-18 at the half. Cajuns jumped out hot. Anything that gave you pause there, though, before we get into the good parts?
No pause in the first half whatsoever.
Okay. What did you see on the positive side? How we did?
Well, early in the game, we scored our first three possessions. And there was good ball movement away from the ball. And sometimes you don't realize that. The guys may not have the ball, but if they're moving, setting off ball picks and things like that, it usually ends up in something good happening. And early in the game, Themis Folks had wide open three-pointers. I mean, there was nobody within 10 feet of him. He knocked down two of them. And, you know, so he'd pass the ball inside. It would go back out to him. And obviously the ULM game plan was, okay, Jordan Brown heard us in Monroe. We're going to let somebody else beat him, and Themis knocked down two, and that set the tone. And he also had success driving. He had some like 10 of the first 17 points in the game, so good to see that. So that was my thought early in the game. Themis was the key early in the game, and, you know, he almost put the game away in the first 10 minutes.
Do you think that was on ULM's part, though? That was on purpose? They didn't feel he could I know you don't have insight to their coaching, but and everything, but it seemed like they weren't going to let Brown beat us or let Brown beat him early on. And Themis was just so wide open, almost daring him to shoot, I guess.
Yeah. I think that was definitely the ULM game plan. He has been shooting the ball better from the outside in recent weeks, early in the season. You know, I don't know what his percentage is. You could probably find it there, but I bet it's going up. I bet it's probably mid to high 30s when it was probably in the 20s earlier.
Yeah, it'll take me a little bit to find that, but he's definitely been, I think, not only shooting the ball better, but looking to shoot the ball a little bit more than he was before early on in the season. His game has really come under control from early on in the season, even into the non-D1 games that we played early on. I think he's playing much better basketball and may be the key to this team.
Yeah, he wasn't quite as successful on Saturday. He wasn't playing bad, but you know, maybe that was why the result wasn't quite as good. Defense was also strong in the first part of the game, obviously giving up only 18 points. In the first 10 minutes of the game against ULM, the Cajuns had only one foul, and it really wasn't anything questionable about that. They should have been fouled. They were just playing outstanding defense as a team and individually. I don't know if you realize that, but you know, that always is encouraging. You know, when you're up 5-1 on fouls or the opponent has five and you have one or something like that halfway through the half.
Absolutely. I did notice that. We talked about that in the stands a little bit, and you're just wondering if the other shoe is going to drop, you know, that something's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, by the time it did, it was over. It was a great job on defense. We talked about the team just a few seconds ago, but Garnett was watching Blackman, who has been their top three-point shooter in recent weeks until this game. He didn't get a basket in the first half. He often gets his three-pointers sometimes off the catch, but they were preventing him from catching the ball. He had to score off the dribble, which makes it – throwing the three off the dribble makes it very difficult. And then when Jalen Delacorte came in, you know, he didn't shoot the ball as well in that game as he has been in the road games, but he did a good job too. So it was good offense and defense, 49-18, as you said. Some three-point shots go in early. Obviously, they cool off, but you know what happened when we cooled from three? You know what the team did? I don't know if you realized it.
No.
They went to T-Lou. Terrence Lewis had a couple of baskets late in the half to keep the lead and keep it growing. So they were a little three happy for a while, but I stopped, you know, by getting the ball to Lewis when Jordan was on the bench. So, and with a large lead like that, the bench got to play lots of minutes in the first half. Chandler White even got into the game, hadn't been in the game for a while, got a basket in the first half. So the game's basically over 49-18 at halftime. Not a lot to say. The ULM, I think, is maybe starting to realize the fallacy of playing only seven guys over an entire season. They're probably wearing down. They were beaten pretty bad in their following game as well. So game's over, but, you know, we got to go to the second half. We say it's basically over, but the key words there, basically, it wasn't completely over. What do you think of the beginning of the second half?
Well, I think it is what happens a lot of time. A team loses focus because they do have a big lead, gets a little sloppy at times. Shot selection may not be as good. And I think a lot of that has to do with running more of the clock and then trying to pressure a shot up towards the end of the shot clock. I'm one of those guys that just keep running your offense, keep doing what you're doing. Don't change things in the game like that. I understand sometimes at the end of the game, you want to do that to shorten the game. But to me, let's run away. Let's put our foot on their throats and kind of crush them, even though they pretty much had been crushed.
Yeah. Well, I think the intensity on defense was lost a little too, because I saw the Warhawks got a few more baskets inside. And that may be a result of, you know, the offense not being quite as crisp, where you're not getting a good shot. If you take it off late in the shot clock, you know, it might be a poor shot, and then the offense for the other team is going to have an advantage. But, you know, it is an issue to me. We'll talk more about that, you know, because several games in a row, the beginning of the second half has been a concern, and it becomes a pattern, and you want to stay away from that.
And you still see that in the games that are close games, or that we have a smaller lead. So, yes, it is concerning.
Yeah. Well, another thing I noticed in the second half, one, there was a great hustle play by Terrence Lewis when he jumped over the bench of our own guys and almost knocked over one of the fans. So the hustle was still there at times. I don't know if you noticed LaCour, number 11 for ULM. He was a pest the whole game long, trying to actually goad some of the Cajuns doing things they shouldn't do, like little pushes after the whistle when the ref's not looking. A couple of times, you know, he was trying to go with Greg Williams Jr., and friends of mine said, that's not wise. You know, he didn't want to fight Greg, because that probably would not be a good result, because it's outstanding in that lead as Greg Williams Jr. is. But, you know, he did get a Frago one on Dalcourt when they were coming down court, where, of course, the second push gets noticed by the refs. And it was a good play by ULM, you know, he's smart, because they ended up getting a 4-point play and they got the lead all the way down to 13 soon after that. A little disappointed in Jalen, but I understand, you know, you can only take so much at times. But yeah, you know, you notice that number 11 was being a little bit of a pest to the Cajuns?
Yeah, I didn't actually, and I didn't get a chance to go back and watch the game either. I didn't. I noticed that they called the flagrant, but I didn't know what for. So
they were running back down court after a made basket, and LaCour sort of pushed him, and Jalen pushes back, and it's almost too obvious of a push. And the refs go right to the, and he's lucky got away with only a flagrant run, was able to stay in the game and not get the run for the next game. They probably went back to the film, noticed maybe he was provoked, and so they didn't want to go any further.
Yeah.
But the lead's down to 13. I wouldn't say uncomfortable, but I'm saying, hey, guys, pick this back up to make this so we can go home early here. And as has happened often, Greg Williams Jr. made another key basket going to the, you know, they pressed one time and he got a key basket. Kobe Julian made a key basket as well. So, you know, the lead goes back to 20 pretty quick. I don't know if you noticed this as well. The Warhawks did have several guys foul out, which I found, you know, I guess, you know, we're trying to guard us all over the court with Demas driving, Jordan scoring inside, and, you know, pretty good off-balanced offense. But
it's one of those things, because we had the big lead, I don't know why they were fouling. And some of them might have been cheap fouls, but at the same time, you're right. Three guys fouled out for them, so, and all three starters.
And there are guys who came in off the bench. Actually, I didn't think played too bad. You know, they kept the lead right at, you know, 15 to 20.
Yeah.
So maybe those guys got excited to say, I don't get much of an opportunity to play. I'm going to take advantage of it here. And they're also fresh compared to maybe some of the Cajuns. So maybe less in there for the Warhawks. Maybe play more than seven guys going forward. Give the other guys a chance. Yeah, like you said, they took advantage of the opportunity they had, so credit to them. I don't know also if you noticed this. Jordan Brown, you know, through most of the second half, really didn't do much. He had 9 points at halftime, and then he ended up with 15. But finally, he got a little motivated late in the game, got a few offensive rebounds and baskets to finish with a decent line score. And final comfortable victory of 84-67. We hope that we continue. We'll talk about the next game in a minute. But I walked out of the gym feeling like we got a chance on Saturday here, and we did. Yeah, that game went down the wire. I looked at the box score, and here's a couple of things that came out to me. I don't know if you'll have your observations of the box score. We only had 6 turnovers the whole game, and that's outstanding in any college game, no matter if who you're playing. That's even good. And when you're playing the non-D1s, and sometimes those games get sloppy, you end up getting more. We talked about the great game team was folks out. He had 0 turnovers in his minutes.
That was one of the things I noticed right after the game was over. I went to the 6 turnovers. And the best part about it to me was it was by, I guess it's good and bad, but it was by 6 different players. No one had more than 1 turnover. And then we had 13 assists. And on the assist side with the 13, Michael Thomas had 4. Some of the others had 2, and then there was 1. So I thought that part of it was awesome.
Yeah. And Blackman for ULM is the one I know. He only had 3 points, only made 1 shot. Holding their leading score at 0 in the first half, 3 points. You're going to win, and ULM's not going to win any games when that happens. Other thing I noticed is the large lead in both the first half, and, we extended it back out in the game, allowed the bench to play a lot of minutes, 68 minutes by the bench. I bet that's a high in conference play.
Probably a high in conference play for the last several years, quite honestly.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't see the stats, but they're just taking minutes away from the starters, and they're just making the right play, even though they may not make the basket or get the assist. That they're just actually getting keeping the lead where it needs to be. So we hope that would help on Saturday. So my conclusion of the game was we won big. Not necessarily that we should win big against ULM, a state rival, but we handled a team that's maybe sort of worn down a little bit the way we should have. I'm very concerned about the slow second half starts. Because that's happened in 3 straight road games and a home game now. I understand the one at home, but something needs to change, and the coaches maybe need to look at their what they're doing at half to ensure that the team comes up with the same intensity.
Absolutely. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was, and you mentioned it a couple of times, Jamari Blackman leads ULM in scoring. Only had 8 points in the 2 games that we played them. And I noticed that he was averaging over 13 points, almost 14 points a game. But, man, it seems like every game that I've watched, especially like the games against Marshall and things like that, I could swear this guy is all over the court, that he had 30 or 40 of their points every game. But then I'm looking at his scoring thing here, and he really hasn't had – well, I guess he did have 35 against Marshall – and 35 against Coastal Carolina. So I think holding him to 8 points over 2 games is huge for the Cajuns defense. And shout out to our guards that did that.
Basketball is a game of matchups. They match up. He may not match up well with the and our coaches have deserved credit too for maybe having a game plan and saying, okay, they're telling others, okay, they're telling our guys, Brown's not going to beat us. We're telling our guys, Blackman's not going to beat us. And it's already better to have a good big man and a good little man.
Yep.
But both our guys are doing a good job. Like I said, they were making him shoot the ball off the dribble. He wasn't really catching. He was, when he was catching the ball, he wasn't in a position to shoot it. He had to drive it.
Yeah. So, 1 for 10 for the day. So that excellent job.
Yeah, and he also struggled the next game against Alabama. He may be wearing down having to carry the load of that team over the whole season.
Yeah, because you see a lot of games with 38 minutes, 40 minutes. At Marshall, he played all 50 minutes. At Coastal, a couple weeks after that, 40 minutes. And then another game against South Alabama, 40 minutes. So, yeah, I've got to believe the young man's body is wearing down. So.
Yep. Yeah, there's nothing really else outstanding. You look at the box score, ULSM numbers are not really that bad. 67, but, 18 only in the first half. So that shows maybe our defense needed to be a little more intense in the second half. But, again, that comes from playing so many people too as well.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a lot of good things that happened in that game, but, mentioned for the third time, second half's a concern. The first 5 minutes of the second half, I should say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on, and we'll talk about the first half of the second game, though, with JMU I really thought with the Cajuns chartering the flight up there and everything, that would save a little wear and tear on the guys' bodies, not having to bus to Baton Rouge or New Orleans for more of a direct flight. So, but Cajuns did not come out on top of that game. What were your thoughts on the first half? I did not get to see a whole lot of the first half. So,
okay. Well, I was at dinner in Orlando. So what I did was I turned my phone off, made sure all the people who normally text me during the game couldn't reach me, got back to the hotel and watched it from 10 Eastern to 12 Eastern, like it was live. So I can analyze this properly here today. Well, the very beginning of the game, I was happy with the Cajuns' intensity. It was physical on defense both ways. The score was 2-2 at the first media timeout with about 15 and a half minutes to go. So only 4 points scored in over, you know, a little almost 5 minutes of play. You know, the Cajuns, I think, had some opportunities in those first few minutes they didn't take advantage of. You know, I was, like I said, the intensity of the team was strong, but defensively, JMU was matching it. And the refs were letting everything go in the first 5 minutes of the game. You know, and that was unfortunate because early in the game, the Cajuns had the advantage on turnovers. They forced a few, but they didn't take advantage. Like I said, the several shots at the basket in transition, 2-on-1 like that, maybe an extra pass could have been made, resulted in no points for the Cajuns. Now, several of those plays, I thought, were fouls could have been called, and none were. And then you're going back the other way if you don't take advantage of a 2-for-1. But I would say this, the Cajuns in those situations maybe need to do a better job of going to the basket strong and making sure you draw the contact and draw the foul. That was disappointing because, you know, you're trying to put it up, you know, the guys still got some defense on you, but, you know, you can gather your feet, set your feet, go up stronger, and you can, even if you don't make the basket, you draw the foul versus trying to make a tough shot. So I was disappointed in that. And had they done that, who knows what would have happened later in the game, but, you know, a couple of free throws was better than no points, and you actually put the other team in foul trouble to do that. So we didn't take it. That was turned out to be key, those first 5 minutes of the game, when or 10 minutes, though. So you didn't get to watch that, but that's my observation the first part of the second half. Now, midway through the half, you know, Jordan Brown has another good game. He starts to score a few baskets. We get the lead, just like in the last few games, and maybe something in preparation for the conference tournament. The bench is playing a lot of minutes, just like the other day. And Joe's actually getting a few baskets in the first half. So things are going okay. You know, we had some opportunities. We missed them. But we lead by 5 with about a minute to go, and it's a bad end of the first half. Not necessarily we play badly, but maybe give JMU some credit. They make a tough 3. They play good defense. They force us to take a bad shot at the end of the shot clock, and then they get a layup at the buzzer. And that's disappointing. You know, make them take a tougher shot. So the game's 29-29 and a half. So from which – you did get to see, but did get to hear. Can you respond to any of my comments there?
Well, I was a little bit shocked at the score coming throughout the game. I was trying to follow it on my phone, and I kept trying to hit refresh, and I saw the clock ticking down, but not the score going up. So, and I don't think we necessarily shot it that bad in the first half, as opposed to, it looks like we didn't get, I can't really comment a whole lot on it. So I don't know if it was.
We didn't get to the line much at all. You know, and it was, like I said, we had some shots at the basket that fouls may have been called that were not. I'm sure JMU feels the same way, but there were a lot more turnovers, but they ended up with 11. I think we had 13, but I bet 7 of their turnovers were in the first half. At one time we did lead in points off turnover was 7-0. And I thought to myself, looking at that should be 12-13-0. Okay. So, the half ends, it's tied. Not surprisingly, the momentum the Dukes had at the end of the first half continues. Now, some of that is maybe they have good energy. Not necessarily the Cajuns have bad energy, but they, like I've said many times, you make a couple of threes and get your crowd into it when you're on the road, diffuse your energy, play a little bit of defense. We also had a bad turnover that I'm sure Coach Marlin was very supportive of this. You know, we tried to stop their run. They got the first 7 points or so like that. Call a timeout. We have inbounds on the sideline, and we're not just some guys just not paying attention. And I don't want to name the players, but you know, they steal the inbounds pass and get an easy layup, and all of a sudden the lead's 11. You know, after a timeout, that'll drive coaches crazy. But you know, they got at the first media timeout, they're up by 11, and the second media timeout, the game's tied. Jalen Dalcourt comes in, gets hot, makes some threes, some other trust institutions. Joe makes a couple of good plays, and the game's tied. You know, like I said in the first game when we played ULM on the weekend, I was thinking, okay, coach may be preparing for Pensacola, getting these guys a lot of bench time. You never know who's going to need to play. And then the game's pretty tight all the way down. Still a few minutes left in the game. We lead by four. I think it was 53-49. We get down a little bit. The key play in the game comes when there's a double foul called and Jordan gets his fourth. Yeah, and then both guys are pushing each other and who pushed first. And I looked at it again. I said, that could have been they could have let that go both ways. But if they had to call one thing, definitely the Duke sort of was leaning on Jordan a little bit. I have a friend who was at the game and he said, you know, Jordan could have shot 15 free throws, you know, if they would have called the time, they were pushing on him and pulling on him. But he got his fourth foul there. There's probably 7-8 minutes to go, and he goes to the bench. And here's the key sequence in the game. One of their better players is a guy named Edwards, not a starter. Ended up, you know, with normal amount of points in this game, around 12. But in that sequence, when Jordan went to the bench with his fourth foul, somehow Isaiah Richards was guarding him. You know, that's a mismatch, a 6'5 guard and a 6'9 center. And the guy got a basket, two free throws, and assists. And maybe and another play, maybe it was a hockey assist. So, personally, I would have liked to have actually pulled Isaiah right out of the game that time. I would have even taken a timeout and go without a big man, because obviously it was a mismatch and the Dukes were taking advantage of that. You don't want a guy who's foul prone anyway guarding one of their better players. You know, so the game at that point went from us leading to JMU taking the lead. And then Jordan comes back in, the game's still tight, and a very questionable call. There's a little move people call pull the chair, which basically you behind a guy. Most of the half, they were fronting Jordan, making it tough to get the ball inside to him with a guy in front of him. And we were scoring enough points when they were doing that. I said Jalen was scoring. But at that particular play, when his fifth foul, they goaded him in the fifth foul. An offensive foul was called when he basically falls down on the guy, when the guy is basically pulling him towards him and the guy can't see. So there's about 2.5 minutes to go there. But, you know, we still get the game down to 68-65. We still got a chance. There's a minute to go. But with Jordan on the game, things are more challenging. And then a three is made from the corner by, I think it's Molson. And he shoots it one of the short corner threes, but it bounces around the rim five times. You know, Cage right there getting the wrap and goes in. So that's a huge play, you know. You would have had a chance to tie with the ball, otherwise you're down six. And, you know, we just couldn't, at that point, you know, we kept fighting, but, you know, they made a couple of free throws. Okay. Did you get a chance to look at the box score at least? Any observations from that?
Yeah, I think the only thing I can see there is two things that bother me a little bit. First being is we've got to start shooting free throws better, because I don't care if it's the tournament or if we extend the season, you're not going to win too many games, you know, shooting 60% there. And the other thing is fast break points. I think for a team – I mean, we were outscored 17-10 on the fast break. And for a team that likes to push the ball up the court like we do, that's very disappointing. I'm not sure why that was. But at the same time, you know, there was a seven-point difference there. But at the same time, we had 7 more second-chance points than they did. So it's just I couldn't tell by watching it on my phone if they were bigger, faster, what was going on there. You know, just looking statistically, we didn't shoot the ball that bad. I think any coach will take 42% from the 3-point line. So,
yeah, Jalen made it go, but then it has to happen. You know, he had a couple of heat checks. He made his first three, he missed the last two, could fire them. One of them was late in the game, but you was 100% correct about the free throw shooting. At one time, I saw we were below 50%. I saw we were right at 60. But the key on that was we missed them at critical time in the second half. You know, we make one, miss one, when we could have extended the lead from 4 to 5 or 6. Or if we're down, we could have kept the game tied. When we missed them, and most of them were misses, were in the second half, it gave momentum to our opponent. Even Jalen Dalcourt is usually a good free throw shooter. You remember he made two to beat UNO in the season. He missed two in a critical time. And I wonder if that's a little bit of a fatigue in that case, because he only played 17 minutes, but sometimes he only plays 5 to 10, and he's been playing more there. He was playing a lot in the second half. He, I don't know if it was lack of concentration, but you know, when one of your better guards misses two at a critical point in the game is disappointing.
Yeah, that's not a that is very I mean, the whole team, we only shot 55% of the second half from the free throw line. We had 18 opportunities there, and that's just, and you can look at that, and that's probably the difference in the game, because like you said, it was down the stretch that we missed a lot of those. So
yeah, well, you also made the point about the points off turnovers. You know, we had like, and Frasbeck points was very similar statistics. You know, we had the lead in that in the first half, and as the game went on, that changed. Missed opportunities in the first half, came back to haunt you. Also, not enough minutes for Jordan. You know, he played 28 minutes, and we don't want him to play a lot. That's a good number when you have a lead, like against the ULM. But in a tight game, he needs to be at 32, 33, if not 34. And if he had done that, you know, probably, like I said, when he went out is when the game turned around, when he got his fourth. His fourth and fifth were both questionable.
I know the fifth was. I mean, but again, I'm looking out on my phone, and I was trying to get back rewatch the game, but it's hard for me to watch the game after I know the results, and especially after a loss.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'll often do that too. If I miss the game and I know the result, I'll watch it if it's a win.
Yeah.
But they were solid. But from the Duke's perspective, they, you know, not all the refs or the occasional mistakes. They played well. Their numbers are solid all the way around when you look at their statistics. They had actually two less turnovers than the Cajuns, and they took advantage of theirs where we didn't in the first half. So in conclusion, that's, to me, it's not a surprise the close locks occurs against a quality opponent on the road. It's pretty common. You have to take advantage of your opportunities. Like I said, early in the first half, when you've got all those chances for two-on-ones and layups, you've got to score. You can't miss three or four of those in a row. You get to the line there, hopefully, and maybe at least make a little one or two of the free throws, and then they get them in foul trouble. You got to make your free throws when you get the opportunity. And, you know, we had 13 turnovers, which is above our goal of 12 in a fast-paced game. And, you know, lately you want to keep them under 10 as you get deeper into conference play. So our inability to knock those down in critical times came back to haunt us. But, you know, if this game had occurred in January in the middle of the conference season, instead of here towards the end, you know, where you're just saying, oh, it's a tough loss, quality put on the road, you know, it's going to happen, and most teams are going to lose in that environment. But if you want to be a champion, you got to find a way to actually come through.
Absolutely. I think like you said, it different times of the year, games are magnified more. And I think I don't know how JMU's attendance usually is, but they had almost 5,700 people there, and it looked packed because it's a smaller venue than ours. So,
yeah, I have a friend who went to the game, and he said their students were just as much into the game as the USM was. Of course, this was a Saturday night for them, so it's a good time to draw. And they're in basketball country. And people may not want to believe it, but people in Virginia care more about basketball than they do in Louisiana. And, you know, of course, they may not have the baseball there. I know James Madison is going to be really good in softball once again.
Yeah,
they're really a great addition to the league in all sports. You know, they would have won the Eastern football had they been eligible, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win it. Then they will be eligible next year. They have a lot of money and resources from their fan base, from what I understand. So they're going to be a really good addition to the league. In fact, all the four teams who have joined the league and have helped us in basketball a lot. I think the quality of basketball and the play has improved tremendously. So winning this league is much more difficult than when Georgia State was dominating it in the past.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to move on now. We still got a chance for the bye in the conference tournament, which I think has been a goal all along. We'll start that tonight against Arkansas State. We've played them before, so we don't need to really spend a lot of time on this. I will say this, that they did win their last game, and they played pretty well against Arkansas State. It was a home game for them. I mean, against Georgia State. If you recall, the first their guys that Ford and Fields are their guards. They take most of the shots. El Sheik is their best forward. He's not necessarily a scorer as much as he is as a rebounder. So the three guys to watch. They all played well in their game against Georgia State. So, but like ULM, they only play seven guys. Only played seven guys in their win against Georgia State. So maybe we'll wear them down tonight. That game, by the way, is at 7:30. I've seen 7:30 and 7:45. Guess it depends on the women's game. The women play at 5.
Yeah. I'm expecting closer to 7:45, but we'll will be there after a short stop at baseball for a few innings. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of that, in the past when we've had double headers and there's been some inconsistencies, first game they cleared the arena completely. The second game they cleared the arena to the, but you could stay inside. Tonight, I think they're actually have a different policy. If you go to the women's game, and you're going to be given a ticket for the men's game as soon as you walk in. And of course, it won't be in the seat of a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
So, fine. If you like basketball, go out to the men's, the women's game. You, and if you don't have tickets to the men's game, you can stay and watch it. But just don't take the seat of a season ticket holder, someone who has a purchase ticket. That'll be so encourage people to do that. And maybe other people do, as you say, baseball game. Baseball starts at 6, so probably about halfway through the game, get to watch a little bit of both. I encourage people to go do something. And I'm not going to tell people which sport to support. You know, if you want to go to a women's game, men's game, baseball game, just do something to support the athletic program. We need every dollar we can get.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I noticed Arkansas State. I know we played them before and we beat them up there. But at the same time, I just want to mention they you mentioned it about the bye. If we win this game, my understanding is that clinches the bye.
Well, guaranteed 1 through 4. Yeah. I can explain how the conference tournament works again, if you like.
Sure. We got a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, seeds 11 through 14 will play on Tuesday, February 28th. Those two winners will play in games against involving seeds 6 through 10. 5 through 10, rather. So 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and assume it's 11 and 12. So you'll have 4 games on Thursday. And those 4 winners will join the 4 top seeds with byes in the quarterfinals on Saturday. Saturday, March the 4th, I believe it is. And then it's pretty much standard there, you know, 4-2-1. So it's possible that if you don't play until Saturday, you will have be playing a team which already has 2 games. But the way the conference is doing it, they're not going to make those teams play 5 games in a row. They'll play Tuesday, Thursday, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And, of course, the higher seed you get, the lower seed you're likely to play in the first round. So we'll want to actually try to get up to second spot, you know. It'll be almost impossible at this stage. Southern Miss is going to have to lose 2. Another game's going to go away for us to get the conference championship in the regular season. We're not mathematically out of it, so you still want to fight for every second you can get. Okay, so that's tonight. We'll also be playing Friday night against South Alabama. Alabama's been hot lately. They beat Southern Miss by over 20 last Thursday. They beat ULM 81-45. You know, they didn't have as big a lead as we did on Thursday against on Saturday as we did on Thursday against ULM, but they played better in the second half we did. So that's Friday night at 8 o'clock. That's because of ESPN2. I imagine there'll be some other people doing the same thing as you did, heading over to baseball for a little bit and heading over to basketball for a while. The key there to me is the guy's numbers don't really stand out that much against ULM is a guy named Samuel. He didn't play against us the first time. He's their 7th-1 center. He transferred from one of the Florida schools. But if you look at his stats, yeah, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, but he had 3 blocks against, and he only played 21 minutes. So he probably sat on the bench a lot because they had the big lead. And when a guy's getting that many blocks, he's probably also causing some shots to be missed, protecting the rim. So what I'm looking for Friday night is for just like we had a 7-footer when we played Marshall, and Jordan went right at him, got the guy in foul trouble. So I always expect that Jordan may try to get that guy in foul trouble on Friday night. But they're shooting a lot of threes. They shot 26 and made 13 against ULM. So, you know, we'll have to be offensively, they may not go to Samuel too much. He's more of a defensive player. But on Friday night, we need to stop their threes. And they had 7 different guys make a three, you know, and their leading scorer was a guy came off the bench named Parham. I don't even remember him playing that much against us back in Mobile earlier in January. So when you get a lead that large, some of these guys don't get a chance to play much, enjoy, get a little hot. So that's the key to me. It'll be get Samuel in foul trouble and stop their threes. It'll be a late game for us, ESPN2. So I know there's going to be a conflict with baseball, but hopefully we can, I guess, get a few people in the dome to actually have a decent showing on national television. And that's the reason we're playing Wednesday, Friday, by the way, is the league was going to choose an ESPN 2 game. It just happened to be us. And, you know, we were playing well when they made this selection. Now South Alabama is playing very well. In fact, they're the hottest team in the league. And, you know, if we played them on a neutral court, I would have to actually favor them on in this game. The fact that we got them at home, maybe it'll give us an opportunity to. And if we win tonight, let me make one other point. That'll be 13-0. I think there's only, I looked at it the other day, there's 12 teams in the country who are undefeated at home, or one of them.
14.
14, okay. USM is another one in our league. But the Cajuns, since they moved to the Cajun Dome, have never been undefeated in the regular season in the Dome. Back in that Coliseum the days, of course, they did it a few times. The 2018 team came really close, lost a heartbreaking loss to, I think it was Little Rock in the last game of the year, who wasn't having a strong year. But, you know, we were, that's when some injuries had. Jonathan Stove was not playing very well. He had just gotten injured. He was our sixth man. 100%, you know, we would have won the game had he been able to play. And Gad was starting to come down with something. Hopefully the team will stay healthy. You know, we don't need to rehash 18 for too much. But let's win tonight and give us a goal for Friday night. In Robert Lee's final year, the team actually was really struggling on the road, but they did go undefeated at home in conference play. That's the only team that ever did it. This will be the first team, if we can pull off tonight and Friday night, to ever go undefeated over an entire season. So.
Okay.
We'll see. That's a goal. So that'll be interesting to look at for Friday night.
Definitely a challenge, especially with South Alabama coming in Friday evening, 7-1 in their last eight games. And if you look at them a little closer, besides that 7-1 record, the last eight games, they lost to Old Dominion by 2. They lost to Coastal Carolina in overtime. They lost to Southern Miss in Hattiesburg by 4. Lost to the Cajuns in Mobile by 3. Beat James Madison by 1, lost to Texas State by 6. So their biggest loss was early on against Georgia Southern by 14 and Georgia State by 10. So this team is it's going to be a challenge, and this will be a good opportunity for Cajuns fans to come out and support our team the next two games.
Yes, and I've watched every conference game that the Cajuns have played this year, and I would put South Alabama's talent up on any of the teams. I'd put them there up with Southern Miss and Marshall and James Madison. Their talent is right there. Like you said, they just had some bad luck early in the year, and right now they're playing very well. The margin of victory is very impressive in the last two games. Of course, those were brought at home. We'll see how they do on the road.
Yeah.
And the Cajuns will help to match that. Now, being on ESPN, too, I'm sure we'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Their record is 3-9 on the road, so let's extend that a little bit more.
Yeah, agreed. So,
any last words of wisdom, Mike, for the team, for our fans, for anything?
Yeah, I'll say one thing about the upcoming tournament. The team seems to be focused in all their talk is about preparing for that. Just like in the NBA, you're going to be playing well before the playoffs start. You're going to be playing well when the tournament starts. I did mention one thing that you might want to watch tonight and Saturday that I forgot to mention earlier in the preview is Coach Marlin has mentioned in the second half, a lot of our games, opponents are taking Jordan away. You know, they're doing things to actually front him when they play him. Their defense changes what they do in the first half to the second half. Coach Marlin mentioned in a press conference yesterday that I was reading an article today in the Acadian Advocate that we're going to try to do some different things to counter that. I don't know what that'll be. I wouldn't be surprised if, say, they give Jordan the ball instead of trying to post him up, get him down low. Maybe they give him the ball at the top of the key and they'll do give and go where he passes and gets it back, or give and get back is what I call it. You give it and you just catch it right back in your shooting position where you don't have to, okay, where he's looking to pass the ball when he gets it and score in the second post. I expect to see something like that tonight, and that may be something we can go going forward for the tournament. And looking forward to the tournament, let me give one thing of encouragement to Cajun fans. We've lost 3 straight road games. All 3 games, we had the lead in the second half by at least 4 points, 7 against Southern Miss. So why did we lose them? Well, a lot of it is because the opponents, were playing good teams. The opponents are getting energy from their crowd. That won't necessarily be the case in Pensacola. You know, you'll have to get your energy from yourselves. Sometimes when you watch these games, how you play at home, I look at how teams do on the road, how competitive they are regardless of the result, and I say, maybe on a neutral court, this thing is going to turn out different. So that might be something to watch for. And if we get into a tight spot on the road, well, we don't have any more road games in Pensacola, maybe that opponent won't have that crowd to spur them. And maybe we can keep the momentum going. So that's what I'll say is, okay, we've had the lead in all three road losses. So maybe that bodes well for us when we go to Pensacola. That's my last words of wisdom.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Well, you've been listening and we're talking. We've been talking Cajun basketball. Get out to the Cajun Dump tonight if you got the opportunity. And if not tonight, then Friday night. Should be a heck of a finish to the basketball season. We'll visit with everybody next week.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.